I have bad news. Very bad news indeed. But also good news, and very good news indeed. So let me start with the bad. You don't want to hear it, but it must be said. I'm going to read a letter, actually, from our Archbishop that is difficult to hear and difficult to process. And I'll make a few comments on that letter. I've been doing this at all the Masses, actually, and after Mass. Nobody adverts to it because it's a toxic subject. But it must be said. So let me start by saying my sister-in-law in New Jersey, who converted to Catholicism 20 years ago, a dedicated and active Catholic, is on the edge of leaving the church. But actually, most Catholics in our country left the church years ago. Although they still check the Catholic box on census forms, most Catholics don't do the one thing necessary to be Catholic, which is to receive the Holy Eucharist at Mass every Sunday. This is what defines us. And this is the real scandal and the real crisis in the church, that we are not eating the flesh of Christ and drinking his blood as he commanded us. But there are other scandals that are consequences of that loss of faith. Last week, Cardinal Donald Wuerl, Archbishop of Washington, said that the McCarrick scandal is not a massive, massive problem. For the Archbishop of Washington, where less than a quarter of Catholics even come to Mass, where the Archdiocese protected his predecessor, Theodore McCarrick, for crimes against children, for this man to say that we do not have a massive problem is a massive problem. We may be seeing the end of the episcopacy in this country as we know it. We may be seeing the end of the Catholic Church in America as we have known it. Who knows, but in 5 to 10 years, this property will have to be sold off. Who knows, but those who are left in the Catholic Church will be worshiping as in the early church in homes. We don't know. But let us hope that reform is finally coming to our church, which has been paralyzed by corruption from top to bottom for well over 100 years. The grand jury report from Pennsylvania was very bad, but it will pale in comparison to what will come out of New York and California and the other states. Imagine the grand jury report from Chicago when that one comes out, or Los Angeles, or San Francisco, or New York. God will use the government as a scourge to reform the church, because neither the Vatican nor the bishops nor the laity have been able to reform it thus far. There have been significant reforms, but we haven't gotten to the bottom of the problem. St. Paul says to the Ephesians today, "The days are evil. Watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise." Yesterday, I was talking with some good Catholic men who have been through the Catholic education system, who go to Mass every Sunday, who support their church with their time, talent, and treasure. But believe me, these good men are still either unaware or in denial of the true state of affairs. Let us be wise, because the time of reckoning, of public and civil accounting, is coming. We will not be able to hide the crimes of the church much longer. A time of reckoning has already come in some degree to Pennsylvania, and it will come to the Archdiocese of Washington. It will come to the Archdiocese of San Francisco and Los Angeles and Chicago. And I can only say, let it come. The filth and the crimes that have lain hidden in our church must be exposed and cleaned out. Well, that's the bad news. The good news is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He will shepherd his church, despite the grievous failure of our leaders. Wisdom has built her house, we hear from the book of Proverbs today. This wisdom became incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ, who has indeed built his church. It is his church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Wisdom has dressed her meat, has mixed her wine. Come, eat of my food and drink the wine I have mixed. The Lord Christ, who is this wisdom incarnate, offers his bread, and the bread that I will give, he says in today's gospel, is my flesh for the life of the world. The double lives of many clergy, the homosexual activity of many priests and bishops, the hypocrisy and infidelity to their vows of many clergy, the sins against children, the financial crimes to cover up these sins, all of this comes from refusing to eat the flesh of Christ in faith. It is essentially a crisis of the sacrament of the body and blood of the Lord. Infidelity to the Mass and to the Eucharist has brought this upon us. We have trivialized the Mass. We have reduced it to a kind of cheap birthday party in many places. We refuse to go to confession or to do penance in preparation to receive the flesh of God. We have forgotten our essential identity as Catholics, which is the Holy Mass. And every filthy and criminal thing has made its way into the church because of infidelity to the sacrifice of the Mass. The good news is we can return to the Mass, to the Holy Eucharist. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. The church is low on life at the moment. There is death in the church. But there is life in the church, as close as the nearest tabernacle, as the nearest Mass. We who are still coming to Mass, we who are left, and we who will be left, I pray that my sister-in-law will stay with the sacraments. Jesus said, "Stay with me," to the apostles. Only one of them came to Calvary, to the first Mass, St. John the Beloved. But he was the seed. There will be always a St. John standing beside the Mother of God at the foot of the cross, who will rebirth the church. God will always send us saints in our time of need, who will be the face of Christ. Which brings me to our Archbishop and his letter addressing these issues. He wrote this letter last week, August 17th, and asked that it be promulgated in all the parishes in some fashion. I'm going to read part of the letter. You can get the letter on the Archdiocesan website in full. It's on the Facebook page as well. My dear people of the Archdiocese of San Francisco, the recent reports of episcopal negligence and malfeasance in the face of clerical sexual abuse, coupled with some reports of bishops themselves guilty of sexual predation, have reopened old wounds and inflicted new ones on victims, their families, the Catholic faithful at large, and indeed, the larger society. This has been further fueled by a spirit of raw ambition on the part of some who will stop at nothing to advance their careers and climb the ecclesial corporate ladder over investing themselves in serving the people of God. Such behavior on the part of church leaders is despicable, reprehensible, and absolutely unbecoming of a man of God. He goes on to speak of the seminarians, of which he has great hope. These men are still innocent. They have not been corrupted by the system. And he wants to make every effort to make sure they do not become corrupted by the system. He continues, "While attending to policies and procedures is necessary, by itself it is really superficial. What is called for at this time is penance and reparation for sins against faith and morals. This is how we keep the righteous indignation that so many of us feel at this time from becoming an anger that divides the body of Christ." He goes on to repeat his request that he made last October when he consecrated the Archdiocese to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on the 100th anniversary of Fatima. "I repeat here what I asked of you then, last October, and implore you even more earnestly to join me in three things. One, praying the rosary daily, and for families to pray the rosary as a family at least once a week. Two, practicing Friday penance and abstaining from eating meat, and one other additional act of fasting, e.g. another form of food or drink or skipping a meal. And three, spending 1 hour of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament at least once a week." He goes on to say that, having consulted the Presbyteral Council, he will offer a mass of reparation. "And finally, in the meantime, I ask you, our people, to stay close to your parish priest. Our priests make great sacrifices to serve their people with generosity and compassion. They are there for you, attentive to providing you pastoral care. I am grateful to them for their labors in the Lord's vineyard, and pray that the divine assistance may be with them as they minister to you during this time of crisis. Sincerely yours in the Lord, Most Reverend Salvatore J. Cordiglione, Archbishop of San Francisco." Our bishop is one of the few that I've heard that is not treating this problem as a public relations issue. He is treating the McCarrick issue and the Pennsylvania Grand Jury Report and all the rest of it as a spiritual problem. He is calling us to that alone which can solve the problem: prayer and fasting. This kind of evil, the Lord said in the scriptures, can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. This kind of evil, the worst kind of evil, is present in our church right now. And it can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. That's the message of our Archbishop. But more, he is the first to pray and to fast for the sins of the church, because indeed the priests and the bishops must be the first to get on our knees and do real penance for the flock. A shepherd goes ahead of his flock. And I can testify that our Archbishop is the first to get on his knees and to fast. I remember 2 years ago at the priest convocation, all the priests of the diocese come together for 4 or 5 days. Unfortunately, the smallest room, the smallest bedroom in the Asilomar was chosen as the chapel. It only fit about 4 people. So I got there at 6 in the morning to do my holy hour. There were 2 other priests. One of them was the priest, Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione. He was actually sitting in the chair. He had probably been there for a half hour, an hour already. When I came into the small chapel, he got out of the chair, got onto the floor on his knees, and motioned me to sit down. Every time I come to one of these prayer services, it's the Archbishop is always there before us, kneeling in the early hours of the morning to pray for his church, for his presbytery, for his people. I've noticed he doesn't eat very much these days. At dinners with the Archbishop, there's wine for everyone. He rarely touches it. He rarely eats meat. He is doing real prayer and penance for his people, and as it should be, because the shepherd goes ahead of his flock. It's the bishops and the priests that must lead this prayer and penance, this return to the one thing necessary to the mercy of God, given us in the Holy Eucharist. The reform of the church is possible, but in the end, only the body of Christ will save us. Let us all return to the body of Christ, the flesh that is given for the life of the world. It is our only hope of happiness in this life and eternal happiness in the next.